The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Jesus says, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Just two little thoughts for you here on this first Friday of Lent. The first is about fasting in particular, and the second a little bit more about penance in general. Okay, so first about fasting in particular, and please know that the following is only my personal opinion. Take it or leave it. However, I sincerely believe that if you are going to undergo a regimen of fasting, whether it's during Lent or at any other time, that you at least tell one other person that you're going to do so. Because there's something about fasting that makes it very easy for people to act from bad motives. They think they're doing something spiritual, when in fact they just want to feel like they're doing something spiritual. And if you tell somebody else that you're fasting, you know, you can help prevent that. You can help prevent. So I really recommend you tell at least one other person if you're going to begin a regimen of fasting. For example, back in the seminary, there was this one seminarian, and he fasted, and he lost a lot of weight. He fasted himself down a couple of collar sizes. But he didn't do his homework. He was failing his tests. I mean, if somebody knew that he was fasting, maybe they would have told him, this isn't from God. Or, you know, sometimes people will, they'll say, I want to fast. But the truth of the matter is they're not really fasting, they're dieting. They just want to look good in a suit of clothes. And, you know, if they told somebody else that I'm fasting, you know, maybe somebody else could have set him straight. So just personal opinion, I think your fasting will do much, much better if at least one other person knows that you're doing it. However, fasting, it's also an umbrella term for every kind of penance. Let's talk about penance real quick, shall we? Everybody should have some kind of bodily penance during Lent. Something perfectly legitimate that you give up. Now, very often, this is something that you eat. You know, like you're not going to have desserts, or you're not going to have chips, or you're not going to snack between meals. But some kind of bodily penance that you choose to do during Lent. And the reason why is not because there's something wrong with the things that we're giving up. Rather, there's something wrong with us. We are attached to worldly things. And there's something about doing bodily penance that corrects disordered attachments. That's the first reason why we do bodily penance. Here's another. It strengthens your will. All of us have a weak will. We do the wrong that we don't want to do, and we don't do the good that we do want to do. Why? Because we have a weak will. One of the reasons why we choose to do bodily penance is that it strengthens your will. But be sure that you're doing physical bodily penance and that you're not substituting in for that a metaphor. A lot of people do this. They'll say things like, you know, I'm going to fast from judgmentalism. Or I'm going to fast from impatience. A lot of people say this. A lot of people who say this are leaders of our church, and they ought to know better. Those things sound good, but that's not fasting. That's a metaphor. Pope Benedict said that we undergo bodily penance to tame our wayward ego, and you can't tame your ego with a metaphor. And it also kind of raises the question of like, okay, so when Lent is over and when Easter begins, you're going to start judging again? Right? I mean, it makes you wonder. Some kind of bodily penance. Why? Because it's a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. Imagine a baseball player. He says, I don't want to practice. I just want to win games. I say, well, if you want the end of winning games, don't give up the means of practicing. Or a gardener, they might say, I don't want to hoe and irrigate and fertilize. I just want to grow fruit. Don't give up the means that leads to an end. That's one of the reasons why we do bodily penance. Okay, now, in addition to bodily penance, there's two more kinds of penance, and we really want to strive to do these because they're much, much better. Here's the first. It's the penance of just being faithful to your daily duty. To be about the things that God has called you to in a day, deliberately and attentively and lovingly. Try it. Without cutting corners. It's harder than it seems. For example, try waking up in the morning without dawdling. Don't hit the snooze button. Don't roll over and get 10 more minutes of sleep. It's hard to do. It's a great start to your day, though. Try putting forth the effort to arrive on time for things. Or to love the people who God has placed under your own roof. It's a very holy, very effective, very hard penance to just be faithful and loving to the things that God has called you to. Now, the last kind of penance, if you can do this, is the very best penance of all. And that is to accept the things in your life that you can't control prayerfully and without complaining. I like to call this the penance that God chooses for you. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not masochists, right? You try to right the wrongs that you can right, but when you can't, when it's something that you can't control, to accept it prayerfully and without complaining is very, very purifying. It could be something small. It could be something like that you don't like the weather or that you don't like the temperature of the room that you're sitting in. It could be something very big, like the state of your health. But to accept that prayerfully, lovingly, and trustingly, the very best penance of all. So just a couple of thoughts here for you for the first Friday of Lent. We're on a long, long spiritual journey, the journey of Lent is. Today we take one more step and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. Saint Casimir, pray for us.